Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and the Bot. It's a little different this morning. The phone lines aren't already lit up. Have you stopped loving us?
Turn your cell phones off.
221-1402 is our phone number here. And speaking of phone numbers, Frosty, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was like, so where are you going with
that one? I had no place. I backed myself into a corner on that one. I'm sorry. But I brought you breakfast this morning to make sure your sugar level was up so you wouldn't just like bonk on us here.
Thanks.
Bonk? Yeah,
bonk, whatever that is.
Okay.
But speaking of somebody that never bonks and is always up.
I always bonk.
You bonk?
Yeah, I wake up bonking.
My sweetheart Linda. I'm going to ask, is that a... Our guest is rolling on the floor at this point. His tie is wrapped around his neck. So
we just have to figure out what that means. It can mean, actually, it means whatever you want it to mean. How's that? Make your day colorful. Good morning. And you know what? We really believe in the power of prayer. Carl and I do. We have some friends we want to put out there for you as you're in your moment of silence and thinking of, you know, asking safety and health for your family. We have some friends, Vicki and Dave, going through some medical issues right now. So if you wouldn't mind putting them on your list, we would be very grateful for that.
They do so much for our community and for our veterans especially. And we just like to, you know, every so often we like to remember our friends like this.
We also
that need help.
That's true. We also want to say hello to Lou and Kathleen, and later on we've got a special guest in the studio today that's you know, an offshoot from Kathleen. But thank you for that great squirrel card.
Well, you know what? They are the ones that introduced us to Squirrel Wars, and I tell you what, our lives will never be the same.
Never be the same
after that.
What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a caller because we have three tickets to Kids Unlimited. So call 221-1402 and Virginia will be taking your name, and you can come pick up your tickets today for that weekend show. We're going to take a break. This is Carla Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, 2463 Athens Avenue. It's open Monday through Friday. You know, you want a haircut? These guys are not stylists. They're going to cut your hair, and they're going to cut it great. DC and Tim, and, of course, the mysterious hair cutter. Barbers, they shave around your ears, your neck. They've got all the magazines you could possibly want to read. And men and moms who want to take your sons there, man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop, 2463. Give them a try. Okay. We've got a...
Speaking of manly men... As you would say.
Well, we have as our guest today, Brian Richard, who is the chief of probation for the sheriff, or I'm sorry, for the
county of Shasta.
The county of Shasta. Mm-hmm. And which means that you are the one that either keeps them or turns them loose.
That is one of the things we do, yes.
Great. Okay, Brian, can you give us a little background on you? First.
Me? Yeah, me personally?
Yeah. You.
Nobody cares about me, Carl.
Yes,
no.
We do.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know, and I appreciate that. Somebody cares.
How'd you work your way into being the chief of probation here?
Well, the career started about 12, 13 years ago now, and a buddy of mine said that he thought I'd make a good probation officer. So he kind of recruited me into the department, and then 6 months later, he quit. And that caused me a little bit of pause. I thought, what has he done to me here? And so anyway, we started, my wife and I actually, because she's been in this with me all along, but we started 12 years ago, and I did all of it. I did work with adults, and I did work with kids, and I did work on the street, and I did work in the institutions, and eventually got to the point where somebody pointed at me and said, hey, you look like you might want to be in charge. You want to give it a try? So You know, I applied for my first supervisor's job and worked my way through supervisors and management and up into administration. And about 3 years ago, my chief retired and he said, you know, you're the guy for the job. You should apply. And I did. And here I am. So,
well, tell us exactly what your job description is. What do you do?
Well, my job as chief is actually kind of boring compared to what it's like to be a probation officer. I tell people all the time, you know, I remember what it used to be like to be a probation officer. Now I'm the probation officer, and I don't have a clue what it's like anymore. You know, working on the street was a lot of fun. When you're actually working with people, working with members of the community that have gotten off the wrong track or were never on the right track to begin with, and you're trying to get them back there, you're trying to salvage them, essentially. And so you're salvaging people, and that is an extremely rewarding occupation. And you get into management, you get into administration, and your job is to make sure that other people can do that effectively and efficiently. So you know, my job is all about budget and personnel and planning and programming and setting up for the future.
So what do you see with all these budget cuts, these huge budget cuts we're seeing, not only from our city, but now it looks like the state's coming after our money.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see? I mean, and of course, as everybody knows, we shut down one whole floor on the jail.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see coming down the line here?
Well, you know, probation hasn't been immune to that either. We've fallen right into the same pits everybody else has, and the state budget cuts hit us about to the tune of about 20% of our funding last year in 08-09. We're going to get hit again this year. The county's been hit so hard that well, you mentioned it before we got on the air, Crystal Creek Camp has to be closed because we're just out of money.
And now, that was a success story. You know, it seems to me that the Crystal Creek Camp was a success story. From everything I've read, you know, and I've been up there a couple of times.
Yeah. It definitely is. You know, when you say success story, we had lots of kids we could point at and say, we helped turn that kid around. We helped keep them from becoming an adult criminal, stop them in their juvenile delinquency and turn them around. You know, we get lots and lots of letters even today that between staff and kids, the kids will send letters back in saying, thank you for what you guys did because it's changed my life. Same thing, moms, grandmas, grandpas, they send letters into us saying, you stopped what our child was doing and made him into a decent human being, thank you. And so, yeah, Crystal Creek is and has been a success for the better part of 14 years. And unfortunately, when, you know, budget times are tough, you can't do everything anymore. And Crystal Creek's not a mandated program.
Yeah.
So. I wonder what they're going to do with the property. Maybe they can make it a camp, like a camp for people who can go. That might not be, of course, you know, like a probationary kind of situation. But just keep it open. People can use it, and then maybe the funds will come in later down the road.
Well, you know, hopefully so. And the state is looking at surplusing everything they can. I mean, they're talking they're talking things like the Cow Palace and
selling everything,
and San Quentin,
privatizing everything.
Yeah, so they really want to unload the property.
Well, it's just like everything, just like the city right now is looking at privatizing a number of their duties and maybe even selling some of the, you know, something like the convention center. With the cutback in your budget, does that cost you probation officers?
It does ultimately, yeah.
Okay. And at the same time, though, we're releasing people from jails. Aren't they released on, like, probation?
You're starting to see the problem, Carl.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm slow, not stupid. Okay. So what's your average caseload now for your people?
About 175 to 200.
And how many can they effectively handle?
60, 65.
So we're working at the cyclic rate of twice as many as they can handle right now.
At least.
So when you're saying is, you know, people say, well, why do they pop them on, you know, they have a beer and they get popped and they go right back to jail. Maybe if there was more time
that's part of it. You know, some people might argue that if you put more probation officers or more police officers on the street to monitor and supervise, you know, offenders are going to make mistakes. That means you're going to have a higher rate of a violation than you do with less officers on the street. Sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. The point is, if you can develop a relationship with somebody, you know, a solid professional relationship, you can help change them. And that's really what they're looking for, is some connectivity to the system.
Okay.
Our special guest today is Brian Richard, 221-1402. If you have a question for the main probation guy in town, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio. Tobacco and Brew want you to know, besides the outstanding service they provide, they also have gourmet coffee and also 5-pound bean bags. Bean bags. 5-pound bags of beans. Love that. Great prices, and have many espresso machines for sale. Okay, and after you buy one of the machines, of course they're going to help you learn how to make the best espresso your friends and neighbors will talk about. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Joe and Shelley. They're your neighbors and Great Americans, Tobacco and Brew.
Okay, Brian, probation vice parole, okay? Mm-hmm. Probation officers before you go to jail, parole officers after you've been in jail.
Well, prison, but yes.
Or prison.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's correct.
Is there a difference between jail and prison?
There is, technically. Jail is local. Jail happens here in Redding and Shasta County, and prison happens wherever it is you go. High Desert, Susanville, San Quentin.
Yeah, we like to tell people we live right down the street from the, just fly in the jail, tallest building, and we're down the street.
Just go down to the jail, take a left.
Yeah.
All right, there we are. Right behind Godfather's Bail Bonds. There you go. That's where we live.
Yeah.
We live in the apartment above Godfather's Bail Bonds. So, and Elk Killer's got the other apartment, so we're okay. Okay, you came here for another reason today, just besides talking about the probation department. What's that, Brian?
Well, it was nice to, I just wanted to come see you, Carl. That's really what it boiled down to. You
besides,
and Linda.
Besides the time you saw me, you know, during business hours where you had to talk. Well, okay, never mind.
We'll consider this your monthly check-in.
Okay.
All right, excellent. It's Probation Supervision Week, and everybody knows what that is. Now, nationally, as well as here in the state of California, and then yesterday at the Board of Supervisors meeting, it was declared Probation Supervision Week here in Shasta County. The governor declared it Probation Supervision Week throughout the state of California, and it's recognized by our national leaders, too. And the reason being is we're putting a little bit of focus on why probation matters. What do we do in the community? What are we preventing, or how are we helping? Why are you spending all this money on us? And the truth of the matter is, just in California, you got 170,000 people in state prison. We got 350,000 people on felony probation. Now, you can imagine, without probation, those 350,000 people would probably be in prison. And you're spending $10 billion a year right now in the state of California on prison. So imagine if you weren't spending 10, you were spending 20 or $30 billion. So whereas on probation, they spend hardly anything comparatively. It's only about $3,000 a year for a probationer. So.
And your idea, well, the whole purpose behind this is to keep people out of jail.
Absolutely.
They're on probation. Mm-hmm. They're being monitored. But as you said, about twice as many customers.
Yeah.
As you have time for.
At least. And you know, it's called community corrections because right. We do corrections while people are in the community. It's inexpensive and it's effective.
And so they're still able to have a job in
yep.
most, I would hope in most they, cases, so that
sure.
they can still be productive members of the community. And yet, and plus they're under supervision, they for a year, 2 years, whatever it is. And at the end of that time, what happens?
Well, hopefully, if they've been rehabilitated according to the court and on what the court has directed, then we can recommend to the court, take them off probation. They're done. They've done well. They've readjusted to society, and they're productive. They're taking care of their families. They've got their job. They went through education, whatever it was. They're clean, and they're not a risk to
reoffend. It's still on their record.
Sure.
But and so that's not wiped clean. But instead of putting them in jail, and this is kind of a judgment call between the probation officer and the judge, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep.
So you all work real close.
Very close.
Well, tell us about those little ankle bracelets.
Okay. Actually, and probation does that. We're in charge of electronic monitoring for the sheriff's department, actually. The sheriff is the one that's responsible for custody for adults, and for kids, we're responsible for custody. But with electronic monitoring, the probation department runs it all. So if you don't have a bed in the jail and you need to put somebody in electronic monitoring, you call the probation department. We hook them up and we supervise them in the community while they're on. And if they violate, we arrest them and we take them into the jail and we tell the sheriff, they didn't do well out here. You might want to give this some reconsideration and hopefully put them in a bed in the jail if there is one. Of course,
we're
limited.
Do you think they're effective?
Oh, yeah. No, they're very effective because as opposed to going to jail for a week and
right.
losing your job, because a lot of employers don't like it when you go to jail, you know, we can keep them out in the community under supervision, know where they are, know they're at home, know if they're not at home.
Right.
And they get to keep their job, take care of their responsibilities.
And wear long pants, hopefully.
Yeah.
John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Linda, how are you?
Morning. Thank you.
I have a question for the probation director there. I was wondering if you could tell me what the recidivism rate of felony probation is, and particularly what it is compared to parole, felony parole recidivism.
I can tell you that the recidivism rate for parole, to start with, is 50% after 12 months of release, 60% after 24 months of release, and 70% after 36 months of release. So between 1 and 3 years, 7 out of every 10 parolees will go back to prison. For probation, the rate is lower, but it's hard to track. Because it depends on how you classify recidivism. Is it a violation of probation or is it a new crime? And if you break it down to a new crime, the recidivism rate is down around 40%. And if you include violations of probation, then it's upwards of 50-55%.
Does that answer your question, John?
Well, yeah, but
Hey, John, can you hang on, please? We do have to take a hard break here, but we'll just keep you on hold, and we'll get back to you as soon as we get back from our break. Is that okay? All right, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guest is Brian Richard, who is the Chief Probation Officer of Shasta County. And John, did you have another question?
Yes, actually I have two, if you don't mind, Carl.
Sure.
First one is, how many people are on felony probation in Shasta County?
It's, under our supervision, about 2,200 adults. Some are misdemeanors, Sean. We supervise DUI misdemeanors and some deferred entry of judgment misdemeanors for drug offenses.
Brian, I understand that you have supervised probation and unsupervised probation.
That's correct.
Do you find a difference in the violators in between the two programs?
You know, I can't say, honestly, that we track those numbers real close. Is one more effective than the other? I think, like I was saying earlier to Carl and Linda, if you don't watch somebody, obviously you're not going to see what it is they do wrong all the time. And if you do watch them, you're going to catch them at a higher rate. So some people say that people being supervised are going to violate at a higher rate. That doesn't necessarily prove out to be true. But those people that aren't being supervised have typically demonstrated some level of success before they go into what we call a banked caseload.
Well, I want to thank you for your efforts on behalf of the county. And I'll tell you that it seems that with the jail shutting down the one floor and the capacity is being lessened all around, you guys are really going to become more and more important to us all the way through and as a line of defense. Thanks for your help.
You're welcome, John.
Thanks, John. You know, and it's not only that, but it's turning loose the, what'd they say, 30,000 from the state prisons?
Give or take, yeah. There are several threats out there to release more prisoners.
Just what we need.
Well, it will impact the community negatively because those people aren't going to be supervised by parole on the back end. So that creates, you know, for the sheriff, for the police departments, for probation, for the district attorney, the courts, it creates more of a workload, and it certainly creates more of a threat to the community.
I think that's why so many people are just up in arms about anything that has to do with the Second Amendment.
Oh, yeah. I think people are, you know, they see things that are happening, and the amount of concealed carry permits is just, you know, skyrocketing. And I think you just heard is that they've introduced something in the to make it a national law that you can carry from state to state. And if you've got it, I mean, let's face it, the people that are carrying concealed, that are doing it legally, have gone through a background check. They've gone through, through the government has looked at them. They have never been arrested, I guess, except may have been stopped on traffic charges, but you can't have any, I don't think you have any arrests, no felonies, and you've got to have a clean record to be able to carry this. Plus, you've got to be trained in the use of the weapon. And, you know, and there's, so I don't see personally what the problem is.
Plus, you take those classes that get you, what is it, 20, how many states?
Well, it was 32 for a while. I think it's down to 29 that you can carry in reciprocal with California, and it's called the Utah law.
But you pay for that, you're thumbprinted, it's a major deal in order to get that carry permit as well, like you said,
yeah,
and annexed to the other ones. Okay, so recently you've been attending some meetings.
We have. As a matter of fact, last night I attended the Reading City Council meeting to talk a lot about the statistics and facts that we're talking about today, and yesterday the Board of Supervisors, we received a nice proclamation from the board recognizing our work, and Tomorrow we're doing a blood drive in the parking lot of our building out behind the public safety building, and we've challenged the district attorney and the sheriff's department to donate more blood than the probation department can. And so far, of course, you know, the probation officers are coming out hand over fist above the DA and the sheriff. But
I can understand the DA because they're bleeding from so many wounds they've had lately on some of the stupid decisions they've made. But that's just my opinion.
I had no comment.
Okay. So you say you're beating the sheriffs, huh?
Absolutely. We're not sure if they're just real, real busy or they're afraid of needles. I think they're afraid of needles.
I think you said earlier that you thought they were a bunch of weenies.
That was off the air.
Probably. Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you have any closing thoughts, Brian?
You know, I like John mentioned just before he got off the phone there, probation is probably going to become more important to the community over the years that are upcoming because budget cuts are reducing the number of available jail beds and prison beds, and you know where they go when they're not in jail is on probation. And, you know, probation is kind of that line between chaos and order in the community or criminal justice system, and I think it's going to become more so in the future.
Well, I think that what you see with the state that our politicians have gotten us into in California, it's not going to get better. And, in fact, now that they pull even more money away from the counties, you're going to see it make it happen. It's going to be worse. You've got to really take a look at effectively using the funds we have and what can we do to keep our county and our city safe. That should be kind of a priority there. And, you know, it doesn't mean that everything else should be cut off, but we should take a good look at keeping our people safe so that, you know, that people can go about their business. They don't have to worry about, you know, petty things. And petty things is like your car getting broken into or somebody stealing things out of your garage or coming into your house. Yeah. So it's that is something that government should do and not get into so many of our other parts of our aspects of our life.
Well, I don't disagree with you at all, Carl. I'll tell you, the bottom line is we know probation works, and we know that probation prevents future victims, and that's what it's all about to us.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Brian.
A pleasure.
For being here.
For the invitation.
And good luck on your blood drive. Now, this is just are you inviting in, like, guests to be have their blood sucked out?
Are you offering?
No, I was going to have Frosty do it. Frosty, go down and get blood tomorrow. I mean, but it's for anybody that comes down, right?
No, it's just specifically probation staff, DA staff, and sheriff staff, and just because we wanted law enforcement blood in that truck.
Okay, well, Frosty's been on probation many times, he's told me. So maybe he's an honorary member? Well, Frosty, isn't that what you said?
We'll collect bodily fluids from him, but...
But Frosty, what?
My blood's not too good for that.
Okay, hey, Brian, thank you so much for showing up today. And
Carl Linda,
explaining, you know, the probation, parole, and especially the figures. You know, this is really a scary thing, and I hope everybody heard that, was that after 3 years of somebody on parole, the chance of them going back to jail is 70%.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. That's a real big deal.
Yep. Has it always been, can I just ask this final question? Has it always been so, or is that just something in the recent years that we've had these kinds of numbers as far as parolees returning?
You know, it's been that way for probably the last decade at least, but it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. And it's going to turn around because we're starting to learn, you know, at the state level what works and what doesn't.
Well, I hope, you know, the state doesn't have a clue about what works.
Well, I'll tell you why. We've got cable. We've got cable in the prisons. We'll make it soft for these guys. They want to go back.
Anyway, okay. Hey, look, you know, Brian, we've got some calls coming in about probation. We're going to hold you here till after the break, and we're going to get to
our
people that are calling.
Yeah.
So this is Carlin DeBott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carlin DeBott. This portion of the show brought to you by Cascade Paints. It's on California Eureka. It's a local paint company. Run by the same family for, what, three generations now. They've got non-toxic paints. One's Mystic Paint. It's used in hospitals. They have a great attitude when you go in there to be helped. I tell you what, they have a great attitude. They will bend over backwards. They will make sure that you're happy there. And, you know, we're using their services. We're having our house painted right now. Okay, you know, we were going to turn Brian loose, but we got some phone calls in here that maybe need his expertise. Mel, good morning.
Hi, I just had a quick question. My understanding is that the camp's been pretty successful, so I was just wondering why the Board of Supervisors made the decision to close it down. And I can take my question on air.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Mel, first of all, I can tell you that, yes, the camp has been successful. The population at the camp has been relatively low for the last year, year and a half. That's probably partially because of our success and partially because there just weren't as many kids coming to the camp as there had been in the past. The bottom line was it is in a very expensive endeavor, and the board has to look out for the entire county, not just the probation department. And so although, you know, most people and every member of the board supported the program and believed in its efficacy, they saw that it was $1 million of general fund and $500,000 coming from support from the Social Service Department. And they said that in this type of budget environment is a lot of money, and we don't have to be spending it. We have to gird ourselves against future threats. So, you know, I respect the board for the tough decisions they have to make. And unfortunately, you know, we were a victim in those decisions, and so were the kids that get serviced by Crystal Creek. But, you know, I don't think it'll be the last time you ever hear about kids going to camp in Shasta County. Yeah.
I mean, let me tell you, you know, because as many people know, as I taught here, I substitute taught in the Shasta County, and I've taught at various schools, but I taught at Oasis, and I taught at Juvie Center, and I was up at Crystal Creek. And the just watching the curriculum at Crystal Creek was different than many of the other schools where some of our kids were at. It was a good curriculum. I mean, they were right into everything in there, and preparing them for, you know, graduation, where in some cases you were babysitting, just to try and keep the lid on.
Yeah.
But out there, you could see the difference in
progress.
The teachers. Right. And there's only like, I think, two, maybe three teachers out there, but they just do it. Yeah. They were teaching multiple subjects and doing a great job. So, you know, a real shout out to the people at Crystal Creek. I'm sorry to see that we've lost them.
Well, like I said, maybe we'll get fortunate enough and next year it will reopen with private funds.
Could happen.
Oh, well, yeah. We can take it over and make it into a boot camp for spoiled rich kids. Not that there's any up here in the North State. Hey, you know what? There's some things that's happened here in the, you know, the last couple of days. Tank is officially over, as we mentioned yesterday. WAPA pulled out, but then Reading City Council last night voted to kill it. Said they were going to pull out of it too. Well, everybody else has pulled out of it. I mean, you know, what did you want to own it yourself? I mean, that was a great deal of courage there. I tell you what. Yeah, let's stand up on that one. Hey, there's what tank? Well, let's get out of it. Yeah, you know, I tell you what I think of that. Okay, they're going to provide another committee. You know, our city council is so good on committees. You know, when we're having the REU abatement fiasco going on and people marching on City Hall with pitchforks and torches, and the way we handle that is, Mayor Siegel said, let's have a committee. And then everybody goes, yeah, let's have a committee. Well, I didn't say that. Linda didn't say that. Frosty didn't say that. Why do you want to have a committee? It's something that you've got to figure out yourselves anyway. And it's going to take forever. Oh, no. It's only going to be like 2 months. 6.5 months later, they come out. They came up with great resolutions. The people working on it did an outstanding job. And the city council adopted 12 of 14 resolutions. And some of them very helpful. But the ones they didn't adopt, oh, no, we're still going to kick them out of the houses, you know, if it comes to that. And we're not going to change too many of the prices. So, but it did buy
time,
and, you know, time's money and
TikTok,
you know, all that. Anyway, so last night they voted for another committee to recommend privatization sites for the city. Who didn't vote? It was 4-1. Who said a committee's not a good idea and it's up to the city council and they should do it? Mary Stiegel. You know, Mary, you are consistent. Okay, we've been pushing this for months to our listeners about privatization. You know, there are things that can be done, things that can be sold. The convention center, great idea. Have somebody else run this. You know, there's some people that have remarked, sell it to McConnell Foundation, let them build an IMAX theater then. And then we can put another convention center in a different spot. You know, more jobs and everything. Well, here, the only problem I have with that is, not that that wouldn't be a decent idea, but how are we going to build another convention center when we have no money? I mean, where's that going to come from? Maybe the stimulus funds. Okay, let's get started on the stimulus funds. Stimulus funds to help us build something in this community. Isn't that what the government promised us? Isn't that what Obama said? We're going to get stimulus funds to do things to help the communities, to give jobs. They're going to take our tax money and give it back to us. Whoa, wait a minute. That was our tax money already, right? So you're going to take it. You're going to launder it through all these big banks who are keeping most of it and giving their CEOs and all the people still huge bonuses, and they're not loaning money out. So the money that's left is going to come down to us, maybe. Great idea. Who came up with that? I think it started with Bush, and it's worked its way down ever since then. Okay. How do we get stimulus money here? I say we go out and we find some of those rats that are endangered that they've got in San Francisco. They're getting millions to keep those alive. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. That was in Nancy Pelosi's district. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Lindebaugh. You know, just a little while ago, I had a ding in my windshield that turned into a crack. And then Carl had a crack. So we both had cracks. Anyway, so Crackmaster Windshield Repair fixed them. And you know what? They can do up to 11 inches in your windshield. Now, a lot of you don't know, insurance companies aren't going to tell you that your windshield can be fixed with a crack over 6 inches. But if you go see Jeff Wurst, he is going to save you a lot of money. He's on 3208 Market Street. So if you got a crack,
he guarantees his work.
That's right.
He guarantees his work. So if you come back in later, he'll fix it. And he has a certain, he has a special process that's just, it's unbelievable.
And he is called the Crack Master. Speaking of masters, oh my gee. Last night we saw Johnny Lang at the Cascade. I got to tell you, when you're in the presence of greatness, it is just, you know, it stays with you. We had a restless night. I think it was just because we were so infused with the soul of what was going on there on stage. It was just amazing. I don't know if you saw Johnny Lang last night. I'm sorry we didn't make the meeting.
I thought I was restless because Elk Killer was sitting on my head last night. Dog. You know
anyway,
what? He was good.
Don't take away from Johnny Lang.
No, I'm not.
Fabulous.
But you know what? He was great. And you know what? And it was a full house. Everybody enjoyed themselves. And this guy is great. You know, the thing is, though, is that he's got a sound system for an amphitheater.
Yeah.
And so they had to, you know, they need to dial that down a little bit. I mean, you know, my bones have got chips in them today from that going through. And you know what? And we say, what do you think? And you know, Johnny Lang, he's young, and he is. He is a virtuoso. The guy can do things with that guitar that are just unbelievable. But then I go back to ZZ Top. You know? They do play the same three chords, and they have for 40 years.
And
but
they
you
say
know
they
what?
Do on stage.
Yeah, you know what? You just got to love two guys
and
like
they're
that.
They're coming to town. You know, they're sold out, too. $77 a ticket. Boom. Sold out.
Well, that tells you something, doesn't it?
People want good music.
That's right.
And they're willing to pay for it.
Okay.
Just remember, if you got something left over, August 15th, we have a concert, too. We're going to be talking about that Friday. Tomorrow, we have Nancy Sutton Pierce on. We're going to be talking about iRest. She is also very knowledgeable in diabetes. She's a nurse. She's a yoga teacher. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, health, and how the iRest can help people with post-traumatic stress disorder and other ailments. So make sure you hang in for that. And Friday, Ray Roberts is going to be here. So we're going to be having some good times.
Okay. Hey, 4th of July, a man named Andrew Malasak, PFC Andrew Malasak, U.S. Army, got home and saw for the first time his son born on the 4th of July. Axel, his wife, and his son Malachi. So that's his visit. That was his present when he got back from combat. Is that his son born on the 4th of July? Is that great?
We just have a few minutes left. Let's take our caller.
Karen, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to let you know about something that's happening at Shasta College. It's really amazing.
Okay.
They're doing James and the Giant Peach. And the script.
Right.
It's a musical, but there was no music with it. They only got poems.
Okay.
So there are four composers, local composers, three of which are students.
Yeah.
That composed all of the music they sang, and the orchestral music.
Wow.
That's a great story.
It's great.
Now, are they? Is it still playing?
This is the last weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's 7:30 Thursday, Friday, and 2:00 matinee Saturday.
Well, that's great. So it came without music. So our local people did the music.
Though. Yes.
You know what? I love that.
And it's wonderful.
Well, you know what? That's a good way to end up the show here, Karen. And we sure appreciate your phone call.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We want to thank our guest today, Brian.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's. I think a lot of people didn't. I tell you, I am still blasted by the 70% rate of parolees back to the system. I mean, I knew it was a lot, but for some reason, 70% within 3 years go back. And
thank you for your dedication.
Yeah,
it's a pleasure.
Okay, hey, look, this is Carl in the Bot on Free Fire Radio. This is, you know, not one of our wilder, crazier times. I won't be here for the next couple of days. I'm going to be riding a Harley through.
But I'll be here holding
parts,
down the fort.
Through parts of this country. And I'll probably call in and let you know which probation officer I've met. Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?